A great part of what we have come to do today is also to hear from the Lord. I will be welcoming our brother Jeremy, who will share the word of God. Welcome, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jealous. Amen. Amen. Let us pray before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be among those who will hear from you today. And as you have chosen me to be the one to share from your word, I pray that, Lord, you may give me concision of speech, that you may give me clarity of mind and conviction of heart so that I may speak from you. Thank you, God, because we believe that your word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and we believe that this light is going to shine again this morning. We pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, good morning, church. Once again, it is a joy and a privilege for me to be standing before you today in order to share from God's word. And the word of God this morning is pulled from the scripture in the book of Psalm 91. And we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 1 to verse 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is what the word of God says. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angel concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. This is the word of God. Amen. Yeah, so as I was saying, it's really a joy and a privilege for me to be standing before you this morning. And our theme for this morning is a covenant-based promise of protection. A covenant-based promise of protection. I hope the media will be able to display the slide as we go through the sermon. And as I start this message this morning, let me just be honest. We are all anxious. We are all anxious about the future because honestly, the future looks uncertain. I don't know if you saw online, but some of my people were posting a meme on their status, WhatsApp status, and some of them was posting them on Facebook, and they were saying, you know, every beginning of the year, motivational speakers, pastors will ask you to plan for the year, right? But this year, 2025, replied to us, "Hold my cup. You haven't seen anything, you know, because no matter how we planned, we didn't plan for what is happening right now. So we are all anxious. The future looks uncertain. And let's be honest, we are disappointed. Whatever is happening has really disappointed us. We are disappointed. We are traumatized. We are traumatized because what we have never seen before. We thought that we have seen it all in this country, in this city. But what we have seen, we have never seen before. And for some of us, you know, this week I was talking to one of my friends who is outside the country, and he was telling me, you know, maybe you should live for a few days, you know, and just stay away from the trauma. And the temptation was so real. Honestly, I was tempted. I was like, maybe I should go and stay somewhere outside the country for a few days. So the temptation to leave is also real. It's also real. But I was also reading the news, And one of the things that I read in the news that is very prominent is that on January 29th, I think it was last 2 weeks ago, 67 people died in Washington, D.C. And they died in a crash when a passenger jet collided with a Black Hawk helicopter. And I'm like, this is one of the best countries in the world. This is one of the countries that is on the point in terms of technology. And they have the best pilots in the world. And yet, this accident happened. You heard about the fires in Los Angeles. And even in this most advanced country, they could not prevent something like that from happening. And my conclusion was that there is no safety here on earth other than under the protection of God. There is no safety here on earth other than under the protection of God. And this is what the psalmist is telling us, because he's saying in verse 1 of Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell in the shadow of the Almighty is to live under the promise of God's protection. It's to live under the promise of God's protection. Because the word dwell means to live in or to inhabit of, inhabiting in. The shelter that he's talking about here refer to a hiding place, a covering or a protection. He's also continuing to say, we are in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow shall suggest a shade, comfort, protection, and defense. Because when there is a sun, you know, very, very hot, it's really a relief when you find a shade that you can go under. And that's the image he's giving us here. And to abide means to lodge, to live, to spend the night, to dwell. Amen? To dwell. So the language of Psalm 91 verse 1 is speaking about someone who is wholly comfortable and has accepted to be in the household and the community of life in the Most High God. Someone who is wholly comfortable and accepted into the household and community life of the Most High God. This is a promise that is for people who have decided to be in covenant with God, for people who have decided to dwell in God, for people who have decided to make God their first and their last resort. Amen? This is not for those people who will come to God only when things are not going well. This is for the people who are constantly and consistently in God. God is the first and the last for the people that this promise is about. God is not just a backup plan. No, God is the main plan. He's the main plan. Amen? This is for the people who have met God. They are all in all. That's what this promise is about. And as I was reading Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Yes, you trust in the Lord. But Jeremiah continues by saying, whose trust is the Lord. You not only trust in the Lord, but your trust is who? Is the Lord. The New Living Translation says it better. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. You make the Lord your hope and confidence. The name of the Lord is your strong tower. Amen? You're the name of the Lord is your strong tower. Number two, I said number one is that there is no safety here on earth other than under the protection of God. Number two is that God's protection is not always from life's danger or struggle, but through them. Sometimes God doesn't spare you from the dangers or the struggle, but he allows you to go through them, and he protects you through those dangers. He protects you through those dangers. And I think this is something that Reverend Joshua highlighted so well in his sermon last week. And we can also read it in this psalm. Verse 7 of our psalm this morning says, 1,000 may fall at your side. These are people who are at your side and they are falling. 10,000 at your right hand. At your right hand. This is my right hand. But it will not come near you. Basically, you are in the midst of the fire. People are falling beside you, but it will not come near you because God is allowing you to go through the struggle and the danger, but he's protecting you there. Amen? Now that's what happened with Daniel's friends. God did not protect them from the fiery furnace, but he was with them in the fire. Because the bottom line is, sometimes God does not spare us from the furnace because he gets more glory in saving us in the furnace. Amen. Are you getting that? God does not spare us from the fire because he gets more glory in saving us in the fire. In the fire. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, the king, when he let this young man go through the fire, he saw that they threw three men in the fire. But what he saw was amazing. Because in verse 28, it says, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach. Verse 24 and 25, it says, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped in amazement and exclaimed to his advisor, didn't he tie up three men and throw them in the furnace? And his advisor replied, yes, your majesty, we certainly did. And then the king said, look, I see four men, because God was with them in the fire. God was with them in the fire. Or in the case of Lazarus, there is more glory in a resurrection than in a healing. Because Jesus said about Lazarus that this sickness will not end in death. Of course, he died, but he did not end in death. Because after death, there was a resurrection. There is more glory in a resurrection than in the healing. Amen? Amen. Number three. Is that the presence of troubles does not equate the absence of God. The presence of troubles does not equate the absence of God. You know, sometimes when you are going through troubles, when you are going through difficult situation, you think God is absent. Well, allow me to say that that's not the case. That's not the case. Let me just give you an example of Joseph. I gave this verse there. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. He was in trouble, right? But the Lord was with him and showed him his faithful love. Even now, God is showing us his faithful love. Because the presence of trouble does not equate the absence of God. God is here with us right now. And this is a refrain that is always in scripture. Even when Joseph was a slave in the house of Potiphar, the Bible says that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Even those young men that I'm talking about, they were in the fire, but there was a fourth man in the fire. Because the presence of trouble does not equate the absence of God. Amen? It does not equate the absence of God. So, in times such as this, times of unrest, times of uncertainty, fear, what should our response be as covenant people? I believe the answer to this question are in the closing word of the psalm from which we got our message this morning. This is what Psalm 91, the conclusion says, verse 14 to 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord says, from Psalm 91, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So there are three commands there. Watch them closely. It says, love the Lord because he will rescue those who love him. Number one, let's go to the next slide. It says, love the Lord. To love the Lord is to desire him, to yearn for his righteousness, for his word, to put him first. Even now, God must become first. He must be first in our lives to obey his commands. Number two, It says, those who trust in my name. I will protect those who trust in my name. So, second command, trust in his name. Trust in his name. That means to rely on his character. That means to rely on his promises and his power. Because when you come into relationship with this God, he says, I am. That's what he said to Moses. I am. Tell them, I am. Send you. It's like God is handing you a blank check. Because I am means that he's everything that you need. And that's in his name and his character. Because when you say that he is Elohim, he's the God creator. So even if maybe some of our stuff were broken from what happened in the last weeks, God is the God of creation. He's a creator and he can allow us to create again, to build again, because our creativity comes from him. He is El Roy, the God who sees us in every situation. I am El Roy, the God who sees you. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient. He has everything you need to sustain you. He is Jireh, your provision. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provision. He said, I am Rapha, your healer. He is our healer. Even if we are traumatized, let's believe that this God is able to heal us from every trauma, from every trouble. Amen? He is I am, Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner, the one who fights for us. He is our shalom, our peace. Amen? Jehovah Shalom, he is our peace. He is El Roy, our shepherd. He is El Elyon, the God Messiah. He is Shammah, the God who is present. Amen? So when he says, I am, trust in my name, it means he's giving you a blank check for everything that you need in life. Are we together? And lastly, the psalm says, when they call on me, I will answer. Command number 3 is to call on him. Call on him. Let's approach him with thanksgiving. Let's worship him. Let's pray. Let's continue praying. Because we believe that this God, when we call upon him, he saves us. Amen? He saves us. Let me just conclude with this word of Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The Lord is asking us today again to love him, to trust in his name, because in his name we have everything we need. But he also asking us to call on him, to depend on him in the days of trouble, because he will deliver us. Amen. He will deliver us. Let's rise up on our feet as we call upon God again this morning, as we pray and ask God to help us. Hallelujah, I am not alone. Oh, he is my comfort. Just lift up his voice and say, God, we need you. God, this morning your word has asked us to come under the protection that you give us. You are the only safety that we have in this world. And so, Lord, we come again to you, oh God, to say, Lord, we want to be dependent on you. We want, oh God, to acknowledge that where our strength ends is where you start, oh God, acting in our lives. So, Father, we pray that you may help us to make this word a rock and a foundation upon which we are going to build our lives again, oh God. Help us, oh God, to continue to trust in your name, because in your name we have everything that we need in life. Father God, we thank you because you are going to help us. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray
happen in this world, nothing that can happen around us, oh God, can change the fact that you are the Most High God, the God who sees us, the God who is in control of every situation that we may be going through, the God who heals us from all our diseases, from all the trauma that we may be going through. Thank you, Jesus, because you are worthy. Thank you, Jesus, because you will continue to do exceedingly, abundantly more than what we ask or imagine. Be exalted, be lifted high, oh God, because you are worthy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be exalted. Hallelujah.
For the word. Amen.